Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. It's got a little cold here at the end of the week, man, but still got the grill on the deck, and we're going to fire up this weekend. I hope you are, too. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks for joining us, and we do appreciate you taking a little time to spend the weekend with us, wherever you're at, however you listen, whether you're getting the podcast off thegrillingguys.com or if your awesome radio station in your area has our show. We appreciate that. It is the beginning of tip-up town, so we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. So if you're on a big UPS 985 up north, you are definitely going to be in for some fun because this cold weather's coming just in time, Jop. They're going to get some ice.
Well, I don't know if they have ice yet or not. I've not been up
there,
do they?
Yeah.
Well,
it's just not good.
Houghton's a little shallow, so you usually get ice a little quicker there than on other lakes. But I've not been out yet. I am an ice fisherman, but I don't think there's a fish on earth we're swimming for.
You said you're a nice fisherman?
I've been a nice fisherman my whole life. Yes. Pleasant guy.
Do any grilling this week?
Yeah, that's teed up right there because I talked to you before.
I just want to hear all about it.
Right, I talked to you before the show here, but yeah, I'll admit it because you know what? Part of us being the grilling guys is it's not always we're the expert. And things go sideways from time to time, and I had that happen this weekend, or this past week, rather. Went over to Sobey Meats after the show last week, and he talked about that red wattle hog that he had, and I hope some of you let me thank you guys for going over there, because when I went over, he'd already had several people who heard his ad on our show last weekend stop in and get that great deal on that pork loin for $1.59 a pound. So we appreciate Sobey's partnering up with us. But I went over there and bought that, and, of course, and he's got a rack of spares off that same wattle. So I said, yeah, give me one of those, too. Lisa loves ribs, so she's like, well, you cook me some ribs. I'm on her charcoal grill. I'm not on any of the four smokers that I own are in the wrong place, right? So I say, well,
will those be considered spares or baby backs?
They were spares. They were the full spare.
Is that what I got, too?
No, you got the loin with the bone-in loin.
Right.
But I got, so like pork chops is what you got.
Right.
We'll cut those in. No, these were spares. These were the spares.
So
anyway,
yeah.
Long story short, I put them on a charcoal grill and just made a little itty-bitty pile of lump charcoal to get it hot because I wanted to keep it cold. I got some apple wood. I put it on top, and I'm going to smoke it.
Time out here. Take a breath. Take a little sip of this beer.
Well, I will.
You're all jacked up on
Jungle. Let me tell the story.
No. I want to stop you right here because this is a great lager.
It is good.
Friends from Trail Point are here and brought it in. But I wanted to ask you, what were you cooking on?
Well, it was a charcoal grill. It was just a rectangular.
Oh, not your egg.
No. I'm at Lisa's house doing this on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, the mush. You were at your Russian mistress's house.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I see.
Right. But so, off the rabbit trail, back on point, back on Trail Point. Let me make that segue. Trail Point Brewing's here with us. We'll get to that in a minute. But let me finish the debacle, because what happened is that it's not the nicest grill. It's right. I had nothing to do with it. It was
listening.
There.
You better get
it.
He'll get you a new one now, Lisa, because he just ratted you out over the air. So
right.
I'll pick it out for you, babe. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll go to Garrett's.
He's right got all the kinds corner. Of money.
Right. So long story, it longer, is I make a little pile of lump charcoal, and you know how that stuff, it gets red hot. When it's really ready to cook, it's red and the embers are going.
Right.
And I say, well, it's a little pile. I put the ribs on, got them all seasoned, and I put them on there and close the lid. The thing goes to 450. And I'm like, it can't be. It's like a softball size little thing of charcoal.
But here, I gotta rat you out again. You must have looked at the thing when you were putting the charcoal in.
I did.
And saw it was a POS. Well, so you got to immediately go to briquettes when that happens.
I didn't have them. That's what I had. I never used briquettes. You know that.
Well, there is a time and a place, right. And that's the time.
Right. So long story short is, I put them in there, and we're cooking at 4:15. So I'm not slow cooking anything. I'm searing these ribs, right? So I'm in. I'm turning them a couple times. But so every time you open the lid with lump charcoal, it goes, I got air. Let's get hotter. Right. And it was an hour and 15 minute cook for these spares. They were edible, but they certainly weren't smoked and good. It was a little bit of a debacle.
God,
but
I'm all stressed out, Jop. That sounds awful.
I saved them and we ate them. They were OK. They were edible, but they were flash fried. They were not slow cooked.
Jeez.
So anyway. Yeah.
So what's the moral of this story?
The moral of the story is cook on the right equipment if you want the right result.
Yeah.
Okay? Easy enough.
Yeah.
Easy enough. I tried to make do, and I made nothing.
There's a good lesson here for everybody else.
What's that?
You get into that scenario and you see that thing there, go grab yourself a bag of briquettes, because there are some good briquettes. You don't have to get the ones that I can't stand. You can buy some higher end briquettes,
right?
And they burn cooler. Okay, they're 800 degrees.
Right.
Lump charcoal's 1250.
Right.
So you'd have saved yourself 400. You could have got a 2 hour cook maybe out of it.
Right.
Or I don't know. I think
bottom line is I babysat them and I saved them. They were edible. We ate dinner, but one end, the small end that's thinner, they were gone.
Gosh.
By the time the big end got done. It was just too big of a risk.
That's such a stressful
story.
I'm glad we have Jeff Knobloch here from Trail Point Brewing Company. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
So what was that first beer we tried there? We had a little sample of it.
Yeah,
the
first beer that I brought in was it's called Trail Point Lager. It's a little 4.5% American lager. It's kind of one of those stepping stones
for the
us.
Bud Light girls that come on to
it
the...
It's a great beer.
Brewery. And it's... I would say even for more than that, it's for anybody who just wants a nice, clean beer. And, I mean, sometimes don't you just say, man, I can't do another porter. I can't do another this or that. I just want a nice beer.
Right.
That's just a nice beer.
Thank you. Yep.
Beautiful.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
That'd be what we call a session beer. You could have a few of those and still get home safe.
Right.
I guess it could be an ice fishing beer.
Right. But. Yeah. Right. I might like a little bit the stronger ones just to get the heat flowing a little bit on that ice fishing one. But we'll get that, It looks like he's got five or six of them there.
He does. I'm wondering what the second one is.
Well, that's what I'm drinking right now. What is that?
The second beer is called Oh My Amber.
Oh My Amber.
Yeah, it's a nice little 5.3% American Amber Ale. An Amber, I think, is an underrated style. It's a style that's never lost, but it's always there. And it's a great, clean little amber beer, and it's one of our top-selling beers at Trail Point.
So what we're going to need to do, and we'll save this for the next segment because I don't want to get started in this conversation and get out of it, right, is that one of the things I want to cover with you, Jeff, is the differences in style and what that means to the palate, and if they're a novice beer drinker, why you would go from one to the other, and what is the transition, what's it look like, and why is it that they're different colors and things like that, because people, I think, are overwhelmed a lot of times
when
they walk into a brewery.
Yes, and I think that first experience has a lot to do with – that's a great point, Randy.
Right.
How many times have you heard from friends, oh, I don't like that, that micro – you guys are crazy. That stuff's just – oh, my God, I took a t- – well, would you walk into a double IPA or
– Right. Yeah.
Something a wee heavy.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. And, so.
So you can blow them out.
Right.
You can develop them into an imperial stout drinker someday if you
right.
want to. But,
right.
Start them with that.
Our goal at the brewery is to brew something that everybody will like.
All right. Well, coming up, we're going to talk with Jeff from Trail Point Brewing from Allendale, Michigan. And you're going to hear about some things you'll really like. Stick with us. We'll be back.
She never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness.
Hey, this is Jop from The Grillin' Guys. Build or redecorate with composite decking by TimberTech. Now through July 31st, you can save an extra 5% when you purchase both your composite decking and premium deck railing from Standard Lumber. TimberTech decking starts at $1.75 per lineal foot and is available in many styles and finishes. Visit your local Standard Lumber location for details and enjoy the outdoors on your new redecorated deck. Check them out at standardlumber.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, and we're just kind of bouncing all over this morning, but we happen to bounce in the right direction out near Allendale, Michigan. We've got Jeff Knobloch from Trail Point Brewing with us, and he's brought some tasty samples, and we want to talk a little bit about microbrewed beer and why a person, you know, we all know somebody that's walked into a brewery and had their first beer, and they hated it, so now craft beer is off the radar and they're back to their Bud Light, right? And I think that part of that is the fact that they didn't understand what they were walking into and they didn't get any coaching. They just made a decision because of a flashy name a beer, right?
That's right. I agree. Welcome back and thanks for joining us again. Make sure you check us out online at thegrillingguys.com. Hit our website. At the top right, you'll find a spot to sign up for podcasts. You'll find a link to ways to contact either one of us. Maybe you want to have an event, you want to have us out, you want some barbecue for your event, you want us to broadcast from it or whatever. You can send us a note from there, or you just want to send us a note and say, you guys really suck.
Yeah,
you can do that too. You can also go to the Grilling Guys Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheGrillingGuys. I'm on Twitter, it's Grilling Guy, and Instagram, you'll find me as well. So, yeah, we ran into Jeff at the chili cook-off a few weeks back, and
turns out he has better beer than we had chili.
There were well, I thought they went quite well together.
They did.
I don't know. When I tried to come get some of your chili, it was all gone already.
Yeah, it did go.
It did go quick. Yeah. But yeah,
just because you don't win doesn't mean it wasn't awesome. We'll figure it out next year. We know how to do the votes next time.
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know, I think our chili was really good, and it's evidenced by the fact that we were the first ones to run out.
Right, right. Yep, we did go through a lot of it. It's all good. I was just
of course, we gave everybody a gallon.
Right, yeah.
No. Anyway, so talking to all the brewers out there, I got to talk to Jeff and tell him that we've had some good times at his tap room because our friends live in the condos behind him.
Right.
Scott and Katie live there. So it's turned out to be kind of a convenient spot for us. And then we have a guest room there to spend the night. So we can just
at the tap room or at Scott and Katie's?
Both.
We can arrange that.
We can go right. We can walk to their house.
Right.
Now, you know, which
right.
is great.
Right.
And so, yeah, kind of cool.
Yes, it is. So, Jeff, we covered the first couple beers. Let's restart, and the first one was a lager. The second one was an amber lager. So there are two lager styles.
Nope, an amber ale.
Oh, an amber ale. Mm-hmm. So we went from lager and ale. Explain mm-hmm. the difference between those two.
Basically, it's the yeast strain.
Okay.
The yeast strain and then the temperature that it's fermented. So the yeast is metabolizing the sugars that we provide for the yeast, and that, depending on the strain type, is what you can think of an ale is a top fermenting yeast strain, and a lager yeast is a bottom fermenting yeast strain. So they work the same, they're producing the same effects, but they basically want a different environment.
So mm-hmm. the lagers are typically at a cooler temperature and
Correct.
It takes longer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of the new lager strains and just the new technology with brewing science and learning more about the brewing science aspect of things, we can actually make a lager a lot quicker than...
Which is really weird because I just had a lager and it got drained really quick. So,
well, that's because that cup had a big hole in the
Let's
top.
Let's take
of
care
it.
Of
that's
this.
That's the problem, right? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, back to what you were saying earlier, Randy. I think it's a lot of it to shock the person that's coming in to experience craft beer for the first time. It has a lot to do with our staff and educating the people that are there. We want to, and our forte is kind of brewing something that everybody would like. And it's educating them on that beer, and then it's really humbling to see them progress as they return and try something else. And a lot of that has to do with our staff and I think a lot of it has to do with our beer as well. So we take great pride in our beer and just seeing them grow and try start off with a lager and now they're drinking double IPAs is really humbling.
And we're good friends with the Sicilianos.
Barb and Steve are great people.
And they had the homebrewer event right in your parking lot last year. So we spent the day there, and it was great to have your tap room in your patio because it was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was. It was an incredible day.
And you're going to do it there again this year?
We are, May 2nd. We'll start off in the morning. It usually kicks off about 8 a.m. We get brewers in the parking lot, and we invite the public to try different beers and actually meet with different homebrewing clubs to learn about beer.
So what other beers did you bring?
I brought a couple of some of our mainstays. I brought a beer called Percolator. It's a coffee cream ale. So it's a cream ale with coffee.
Nice.
And you notice that the beer here is still the same. Nice
quite
golden,
clear.
Golden strong color. And,
right.
And what we do is when we steep the coffee beans, we don't break the coffee beans, and we steep them for a short period of time, and it doesn't extract any of the color from the coffee.
Interesting.
But we get some really great flavor profiles from it.
Yeah, and usually those are porters, right? I mean, you get a coffee-infused beer, it's a porter.
And you're seeing more and more of the blondes, though.
Yeah.
I think Odd Sides, we were talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of came out with a bean flicker.
Yeah, they make a great beer, bean flicker.
And then Founders came out with one that was really good, something Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry, Founders. I don't...
What's yours called?
Ours is called Percolator.
That's right. You can this, too?
We did a little canning run of it this year. So
yeah.
We.
I thought I saw it somewhere.
We currently do not have our own canning line, but we work with a company called Michigan Mobile Canning. So
right.
They can provide a service for us.
That's
where they
cool.
come in. And it is. It gives new brewers or small independent breweries the option to get their product out there in a different form. So
tell us what else you've got over there.
I also brought two IPAs with us. Sipopotamus is one of our mainstays IPAs. It's a 6.9%. More of a kind of a West Coast style IPA.
Okay.
A little bit drier, a lot more hop forward, all citrus hops, just a great beer. It's been one of our mainstays from the beginning. And
it looks kind of hazy.
This is very hazy. It's a New England style, so the haze craze is on, and we really kind of provide what people want. So we have new trends with beer, and we have to follow trends, and New England styles are very popular right now. So Hazy Potamus is kind of a spinoff of Sipopotamus, but we use a different yeast strain and adjust the water profile.
Wow, it's awesome. But my question is this is we talked about people getting used to beer and moving through your palate, right?
Correct.
And so you're in Allendale, which is a college town.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, do you get a lot of college students in the brewery, or are they old guys like Bob and I?
We get a small percentage of college students, actually.
That's what I thought, maybe.
Yeah.
They like volume. Right?
Right.
And Daddy lights big up there.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah. But I just was curious if you see that in the younger generation that's coming through, or it's just old guys like Bob and I that come in and really appreciate the craft.
I remember buying cases of Olympia when
oh,
I was
sure.
out west.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Falstaff.
Guaranteed headache.
Right, yeah.
I've had the Olympia.
You drink 30 or 40 of them, and you're
going
to get
it was
headache.
The puzzle under the cap that kept you going.
Yeah. Yeah. Always a novelty, right? Yeah. No, I really wasn't getting drunk, Mom. All I was doing was looking for that last piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Cracker Jacks.
What's
the one you bottled here?
This one is something that we bottled this year. It's a new beer for us. It's called Perked Up Kilts. So it is a wee heavy with coffee.
Scotch?
Not scotch. Aged in a bourbon barrel. Scotch ale is a style. It's a particular style. So there is some confusion with the style of a scotch ale. It has nothing to do with scotch. It's just a Scottish style.
No, I understand that. But so what is that?
This is a wee heavy Scotch ale.
It is a Scotch ale.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what I asked. Yeah.
Yep,
but a bourbon influence. You said bourbon barrel.
Bourbon barrel age. So
yeah.
we give this a little hiatus in a barrel for about 12 months with coffee in it,
holy
and
cow.
it's really been a spectacular yep. little beer for us. Actually, a big beer.
Yeah. So Jeff, where can people find you? Are you online? Are you on Twitter? Are you Facebook?
We are, yeah, all of the above.
Okay.
We try to work hard with social media. You can find us in different establishments throughout the town here in
you
Grand
can go
Rapids.
To West Michigan and go out to find Grand Valley, where our producer Brian went, and just go across the street and look for Trail Point.
Jeff, do you have time to stick with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we got five or six things that haven't been opened yet, so we can't let you go.
Nope,
but,
I agree.
So coming up next, we're going to be talking with a gentleman named Greg Brown, and he might tell us a little bit about how to grill a crab leg. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And been having a little bit of fun with Jeff Knobloch from Trail Point Brewing. But, Bob, we've got a guest on the grilling line right now.
That's right. And I'm just wanting to make sure we're saying your name right, Jeff. Is that right, Knobloch?
It's actually pronounced Knobloch.
Knobloch. Oh, my bad.
Yep, that's okay.
All right. Give me another couple beers. I'll dial it in.
I just wondered if, like, one of your ancestors was an offensive player because he Knobloch.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
I just wonder how, you know. Stop it. Like his,
that was like that rib viage or some junk you were doing a couple weeks ago when your wife left you.
So this next fellow coming on the line here is going to talk about how to grill some crabs, but he's an old friend of mine, and we share a relative. His stepfather is my godfather. So
that's irrelevant.
It is not. Venting is included. But so you might remember him, Jop, because years ago when the show was fairly new, he came on and did something that turned out to be quite popular. He told us how to do something called Tasty Deer Treats.
Okay.
If you remember that recipe, and I'm sure you don't. But
well, hey, you know what? He's on the live line, though, so he might be able to tell us about
it. Let's talk to him right now.
Give him an opportunity to
talk. Greg Brown from Smyrna, Smyrna, Michigan. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing great, doing great. Yeah, it turns out my daughter, this all started out yesterday here. We asked her, what do you want for dinner for your birthday? Because today is her 14th birthday.
Nice.
So a little shout out to Eliana Easton Brown.
I remember when she was born.
Yeah. And no, don't want to go to Red Lobster, Dad. Don't want to do that this year. Can you grill the crab legs on the grill again? All right. So 20 pounds of crab legs.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah.
There's a $400 birthday
and
dinner.
She only weighs 30 pounds.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, put it on the elevator. $400 was a while back, I think.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't have to go to college anyway.
Do all those teenagers really like crab legs? Man, you got that's a big party, baby.
14-year-old does.
Yeah, right. There you go. Good.
Yeah, 1 pound crab legs. Yeah.
So Greg called me out because I told him.
Yeah, I got a brand new Weber grill just picked up here yesterday, so I'm looking to break it in right with some 1 pound crab legs. So, but if you want to know how to do it, how I was taught, you got two different sides of a crab leg. You got the red side and the white side. And when you grill them, you kind of grill them like you're doing a steak. You throw it on the red side first because it can take more heat before it actually starts to turn and start to burn the shell. And then if you see it starting to turn, you flip it over to the white side and it goes quicker. by the time you get it out, you have a perfectly steamed crab leg that doesn't lose any of the salt or flavor because it's all boiling inside itself.
So do you thaw it, or can you throw it on frozen?
Frozen.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
How cool is that? Right.
I can see, because that'd keep the moisture in it, right? And then it kind of steam itself,
right,
because they're cooked.
Yeah.
When they're harvested, they're cooked and flash frozen, and that's how we get them, okay? But
correct.
So really you're heating them back up. You're not cooking them, but on the flip side of that is that salt water moisture in there provides a tremendous amount of flavor. And so
make me hungry.
Yeah, yeah. So what a cool idea. Never done that before. So you're doing the knuckles and everything. I mean, you're just putting the whole thing on the grill.
Put the whole thing on frozen, put it red side down, and you got to watch it and just cook it like you would a steak. If the outside is getting too cooked, it's done.
Maybe you want to slow down your temperature a little bit if it's frozen.
Yeah.
And you might want to be careful of your heat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worked out.
So how long?
Are those good, too.
Yeah, so
not enough backstrap to go around.
Greg, how long did that take you, approximately? I mean, I know temperature plays a role in that, but were they on there 10 minutes? Were they on there 4 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes max, probably. I mean, it's like cooking a steak. It's,
wow.
You know, 5 minutes per side, you know, ish. But just don't overcook the white side. It'll grill up quick on the white side.
Hmm. Interesting.
And what are you saying? The meat will get tough?
No, it'll just burn the outside of the shell, and you'll have more like a crumbly shell. You don't want to have a crumbly shell around your beautiful meat, you know.
No, because you'll have all that black flake around it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. So just don't overcook it on the white side.
So you did woods and turf, because you said you served this with some venison backstrap as well?
Yeah, we do it. Well, this time we're out of backstrap because my family, Christmas, somehow, I'm doing tasty deer treats for every Christmas dinner for the last, like, 7 years now.
Right.
So I'm running low on backstrap, but that's a great recipe. A friend of mine shared with me. Take a backstrap, you thin it out, and put a little honey teriyaki on it. Then you chop up apples, onions, and fresh jalapenos in strips. Then you wrap that in that tenderized meat that's been soaking, marinating. Then wrap another thing of bacon around to hold it all together.
Oh.
And you grill that. Oh man, is that good!
So it's apple and jalapeno.
Rewind that.
Jalapeno,
I got apple.
Yeah, okay. So
a jalapeno, and there was something else.
I take a backstrap and I cut it like long ways, kind of to make a long rolled up meat.
Okay.
You know, probably eighth inch. Tenderize it so it just falls apart. Honey teriyaki, 20 minutes maybe. Then you take your spears of apple. Fresh jalapeno and onion.
Onion, that's
and
what
you,
it was.
Yeah, and then you wrap that inside there to make like you would a sushi roll.
Yeah.
And then you wrap a bacon around it all the way around and toothpick it.
Right.
And when you throw that on the grill, you're gonna cook it three sides, if you can, two to three sides. If
right.
You get this roll, and all you're doing is cooking the bacon on the outside.
Yeah.
Just cook the bacon on the outside, and you're done. Cut them into medallions, and you can't make enough.
Holy cow, I bet not. Wow, that sounds tasty. Making my mouth water just thinking about that. No, I've never done anything like that. I realize you told us about this years ago, but I'm old. I don't remember stuff like that. But cool. Very good.
Gives me itchy trigger fingers, what it does.
Yeah, itchy trigger fingers. Yeah, to go get another one. Because there's only one ingredient out there that's on a limited resource, and that's the venison,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Very cool.
Right. Greg Brown, my brother, thanks much for joining us. We're going to try that. I'm definitely going to try your crab leg recipe. I'll throw some on the grill.
Not doing the venison because you didn't get a deer this year,
Bob?
Okay. Yeah, right. Sorry, I didn't mean to remind anybody of that.
That's okay. I had the best hunting season, Greg, I've had in years, and I didn't shoot a thing. But it just wasn't about the meat this year. It was just about being out there every weekend.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that, does it?
Oh, man.
Nothing like seeing those animals walk around the woods and just being the bird on a stick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or having the bird land on your arrow. That's even better.
That's right.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, I will see
you. Did you wake up to that?
I will see you. I will see you a Super Bowl weekend.
All right, sounds good.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Very cool.
So that's Greg Brown. We were fast friends. I did business with him about 15, 20 years ago, and after about 2 or 3 minutes, we were just like old pals. Yeah. And he's a good guy. Yeah.
All right. Jeff, what is it that you just put in my glass? That is tasty.
It's magic.
Oh, man. What is that?
That is Hazypotamus. It's a New England style IPA. It's one of our house favorites.
It's yeah. It's got a little citrus.
It does, yeah.
Backbone to it?
It's got a lot of citrus up front and some kind of stone fruit flavors. Soft on the palate. We kind of manipulate the water a little bit to change the water profile to give it a softer feel.
Okay. How do you change water? Water's water.
Well, we have to know it's not. It really dictates a certain style. So we
and it's a huge factor.
It is a huge factor. So clean water, obviously, and we're in a state with the greatest
and
water in some of the world.
Level
pH level.
Talk about
in your minerals and knowing what your minerals are in the water, and then designing a beer around that, and then making the adjustments. So
how cool!
The science of brewing is just it's incredible of the way things have changed over the past 80, 90 years, and what we're able to do now with beers and get the flavors we desire.
And it's finally happening all around the country. I mean, we watched it come into Michigan.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about a few things you could do in this cold weather other than standing inside and looking at your deck. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Welcome back to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're live in the Standard Kitchen Studios. And Barbecue Bob, it's that time of year where the weak at heart stand and look through the sliding glass door out at their deck, and there are other things to do this time of year, but if you're a grilling guy, we don't usually talk too much about those, but we've got some home shows coming up, and our friends at Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen are exhibiting this weekend down at the New Home and Remodeling Show in Grand Rapids, the place called the DeVos Hall, and it's just a exhibit space, and everything to do with regard to new homes and remodeling. Obviously, we're a materials supplier at Standard. So we have the Build It stage that we have sponsored. Actually, later today, I'm going to be moderating a discussion on remodeling and some of the questions that people have and things like that. So just want to let everybody know, 2 o'clock this afternoon, if you come down to that show, you'll see me on the Build It stage. And I'll be leading the conversation, so looking forward to that. But anyway, what's going on in your world, man?
Yeah, thanks, Jop, and welcome back. Good little bit of bumper music there, Brian, because we did, of course, lose Neil Peart this week from Rush, and I sent that text out to some buddies the minute I heard it, and everybody was sad. My son's a drummer, and, you know, my brother-in-law's a drummer. We're all old. I'm an old musician, so you get around enough old musicians, and when these people start passing away, it's like, wow, I remember the first time I saw them or whatever. Anyway, so much for that. Anyway, just wanted to give him a little recognition because he's probably a pretty influential musician in our country and our culture.
Yep, absolutely.
You Canadian, know? I believe.
Salute, man.
Yeah, so getting ready for Grillin' 2020, you know, and I would encourage people to get a cup of coffee and walk in your backyard Saturday morning, Sunday morning, whatever, and take a look at that backyard with the snow, with no trees, and take a couple pictures of it totally stripped down because it looks different than it does in the summer.
Absolutely.
And it might help you and your creative juices to figure out how you're going to expand that property because it's a blank canvas when it's just white. And I know it sounds a little silly or whatever, but I think planning your stuff out before everything grows kind of gives you a little better look at the terrain. And there are things in your backyard that will affect the way you grill, like how the water runs off your lawn, how the water runs off your roof. Do you need a covered grill area? Where's your prevailing wind come from? So when you build this thing, when you're out there grilling in the winter, do you have some kind of a block for your wind? And, you know, can you get some protection and some shelter in there? And these are all things that if you're going to spend money on an outdoor kitchen area, you just want to try and include as much of this as you can because you don't want to have to tear anything apart. I've been known to tear things apart and redo them.
Right. I think of all of that you said, I agree with every bit of it, and I want to stress the one about the wind direction. I've designed dozens of outdoor kitchens for people from $5,000 to $100,000. And the number one thing that we always talk about early on is that prevailing wind in your backyard or wherever your kitchen is going to be. Because the last thing you want to do when we cook and we smoke, especially, we're making a lot of smoke, right? And the prevailing wind is southwest in Michigan, right?
Except you do, in the winter.
Yeah, but you're generally not outside in an outdoor kitchen in the winter in entertaining guests, at least in Michigan.
No, and when you are out there, you're putting something on and you're going back in the house.
Right, right. But my point is that you don't want to put your kitchen, your cooking equipment on a southwest corner of and have your smoke waft across your guests.
Which is right where mine is.
Right, right. But you're in the woods. You're kind of tightly in the woods and you got huge trees around your place. So you don't get that wind. But on lakes, I've designed a lot of kitchens on lakes, right? And everybody's back of everybody's home faces a lake. That's the way they live. And they'll come out and I want my grill over there and I want this over there. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, let's swap that. And they're like, no, that's not what I want to do. And I said, yeah, it really is. Because you do not want that on the southwest corner where that wind's going to blow it all across your guests when you got 20 people sitting there and you're cooking for them. You know, they're all choking because the smoker's just bellowing smoke and it's blowing right across them. So it sounds elementary, but a lot of people don't take that into consideration.
That's right. And so here's another thing that this time of year is good for. Number one, the planning part, doing your research. Like you said, there's a show coming up this weekend that's on right now, and there's another home show like in March, I believe.
Yep.
And so those are great places to go to just look at products. Everybody comes to you at one time. Mm-hmm. You got to go to whatever your area mall or wherever these shows are in your state and your town. You got all these businesses that haul all their stuff down there so you can do all your shopping in one day.
Right.
That's really nice.
And there's a lot of show specials at those too. Yeah.
Yeah, there are. Whatever. And I don't believe in them because it's usually a setup. Well, anyway. So, but the biggest thing is you've got time right now to take care of stuff inside that'll set you up for that. And the one thing I'm thinking of is your gas lines and your plumbing. You know, you might be able to reconfigure some of your plumbing in the basement to get you set up so when the weather's nice, you don't have to worry about that mechanical work down there. You've already got it taken care of.
Yeah, and one I would add to that as well is that if you're going to do an outdoor kitchen, it's going to take you, if you're looking for design help, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks to put the design together.
Easily.
Taking consideration of all the existing environment that's out there. Again, the mechanicals, the electrical, the plumbing,
the water, the heating,
or whatever it is. Right. But then the second part of that is if you decide, you settle on a design, now you got to order product, okay? And some of the outdoor cabinetry that Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchens represents is a 6 to 8 week lead time. Bang, 2 months. You decide on this stuff in February, it doesn't get here till the end of April, right? And you want your kitchen done by Memorial Day, you're really pressing that time frame. You know, you got to plan this stuff out. This isn't a, hey, let's do this, and 2 weeks later you got it. If you're doing an outdoor kitchen. Now, you put a grill on the barbecue on the patio, different story. But if you want water, refrigeration, lighting, plumbing, all of that stuff, this takes a lot of time. And I don't, and that's been the number one complaint that my customers has. Like, I had no idea that this was going to take 5 months to do this thing. I thought we'd just talk about it in March and it'd be ready to go by Memorial Day, and it generally isn't. So just something to think about. And this is the time of year you go to these shows. You can talk about it and start the ball rolling.
That's right.
So, you know what? Those are man law recommendations. Now you're a man! A man. Now you're a man! A man.
You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man! Today's man law is man law 68. When lifting weights, it is acceptable for a man to wear compression shorts under your regular shorts. No man shall ever wear compression shorts without shorts over.
That's right. No,
anyway,
fruit bowls in the gym.
I have finally recommitted myself. I got lazy and fell off the gym for about 6 months, and I gained about, all the weight I lost.
Right.
And my gut's hanging out. So this week with my wife gone, I started getting back to Snap Fitness and using that wonderful gift of exercise, because you just feel better when you do that. And Snap Fitness of Lowell, Belding, and Greenville is run by a fellow named Ryan. He does a great job. They're clean equipment, clean facilities, and that's a big deal when you're going to the gym. You don't need to pick up everybody's germs and colds and flu when you're sharing equipment in the gym. And that's a big problem with some of the cheaper places.
Sure. Sure it is. I mean, who doesn't like cleanliness, right? I mean, it's important in the gym. It's important in the kitchen. It's everything we do. It's kind of good. But
it just feels good to get back into exercise, because you get lazy. When you fall out of it, you talk yourself out of it. You get lazy.
Right. Coming up next, Bob, we're going to talk a little bit about our friends in Northern Michigan on WPS are always a big supporter of the thing in Houghton Lake called Tip Up Town. It's ice fishing. There might not be ice where you're listening, but there is up there, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
If your window sticks, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. Bob, we've kind of been all over the map today, but the common denominator here is that we've got Trail Point Brewing in every one of these segments, and we just continue to sample these tasty treats. What's next on our agenda? We have what? All right. What is that, Jeff?
This is Sipopotamus.
Sipopotamus.
So recent beer that I just
Sipopotamus?
Sipopotamus.
All right, man.
It's a citra hopped IPA.
You got like a Dr. Doolittle brewery there.
Right. Well, you know, you got to have a catchy name. Come on, man. Come on. You can't just call it IPA.
It's very good. It's very good. So Tip Up Town, if you followed the show at all, we're very often talking about 98.5 UPS, the big stick of the north. It's a classic rock station. We love being on that station. It's a great crew there, and also on the Twister. That's just been a great relationship for us, and they brought us to Tip Up Town before, and I'm sorry we're not going to be there this year for it.
Yep.
We just didn't really get our act together. But it's Houghton Lake, Michigan. We're getting the weather right now to finish off that ice. Don't be discouraged because a couple of days ago they saw, you know, cracks and stuff. Last night I saw the helicopter film footage, and they were flying around, and it's looking like it's getting all shored up. So it is on. It's game on, Houghton Lake,
Michigan. Yep.
It's one of the coolest events in the country. Happens every time this year.
Yeah, and I remember when we were up there last year, or the last time, rather, that we were up there, we served a flaming salmon on cedar plank. Maybe not by design.
Probably the highlight of the day.
Right, yeah, but she got a little hot, and the boards caught on fire, and we were taking them off there with the tongs, and they were still flaming when we were handing them out. But anyway, that's cool. Hey, Jeff, thanks for making time at Trail Point Brewing. Tell us where you guys are at. Somebody wants to come out to the tap room.
We are located in Allendale, Michigan, just a mile west of Grand Valley State University's campus.
Okay, and on right on Lake Michigan Drive on what is that
M45?
Yeah,
on the north side of the road.
M45. It ends up in Lake Michigan if you don't stop.
I know that's right where all our water comes from in our great town of Grand Rapids. But
also wanted to mention Black Lake and the Shivery. That's Black Lake is right up by Mullet Lake. It's in the chain of lakes in northern Michigan on the east side of the state, and there is a lake there that's 10,000 acres. And it's got 1,500 beautiful ancestral fish called a sturgeon. They're dinosaur fish. 1,500 adults. That's a lot of sturgeon.
Right.
And the water's crystal clear. It's a cool lake. Nobody knows about the place either. I mean, it's like so off the beaten path that the average person in Michigan couldn't tell you where Black Lake is. But
yeah.
It's a sight to see. The first weekend in February every year, the Shivery. You can go to the Club 211. You can have yourself a great time there.
Yep.
And
generally the largest sturgeon out of the contest, it ends up in the Shivery.
That's right.
And you might have an opportunity like Bob to get your picture taken with it. I mean, you might even see a picture of Bob kissing a sturgeon. So
I think that was you.
No, I'm not sure. I think I have the picture, but I don't think it was me in the picture kissing sturgeon.
He kisses and tells. There's your proof. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to check us out on thegrillingguys.com. Again, you can sign up for our podcast. It's a growing podcast. Every show is available on our website in MP3 format. So thanks again to Jeff Knobloch from Trail Point.
Thank you, Jop and Bob. I appreciate being out here, and I really enjoyed sampling our beers.
You're awesome, man.
Thank you.
Go to Trail Point.
All right. We appreciate you listening in each and every week, and be safe out there, and we'll talk with you next week.